Good morning, and welcome to Rosedale United Church. I'm very grateful for the number of people that are here, given it's a cottage opening season, etc. But today is Ascension Day, so that's a little bit more important. My name is Mary Annabelle, and I'm a student in the Licensed Lay Leadership Program with the United Church of Canada, and I've sung in the choir for 35 years. With me in leadership this morning is our organ scholar, Oscar Hodgson, and our soloist, Jennifer Robinson. I'm also pleased to welcome our special guest speaker, Dr. Jennifer Bright. Dr. Bright is a professor of Buddhist spiritual care and spiritually integrated psychotherapy. Her current research focuses on decolonial pedagogies in Buddhist spiritual care and psychospiritual therapies. Buddhist responses to the Truth and Reconciliation Commission and its calls to action, Buddhist approaches to the moral emotions and moral injury, and the intersection of Buddhism, medicine, and healing. Welcome, Dr. Bright.
Thank you.
Rosedale is a congregation committed to supporting human flourishing here in the heart of Rosedale and in our city. We gather to learn, to grow, and to serve. Rosedale is an affirming congregation. We represent a variety of ages, gender identities, sexualities, family configurations, and backgrounds. Everyone is welcome here. I'd like to draw your attention to the other announcements from our congregation and the Rosedale Center. A team from the Social Ministries Council will be gathering this Sunday right after church at coffee hour to make sandwiches for the Out of the Cold program. Many hands make light work, and we invite you all to participate. I believe we're doing the sandwich making up in the coffee room, so it'll be easy for you to make a couple of sandwiches and then sneak down the side stairs. On May 31st, Rosedale United is hosting an interfaith event to support the Jewish community and promote a culture of tolerance, safety, and security for all. The Interfaith Bridge is a grassroots interfaith group dedicated to fostering unity and combating anti-Semitism in our community. Through interfaith awareness, education, and dialogue, they aim to create a unified voice of support and solidarity. By building bridges, we hope to inspire and empower individuals to advocate for policies and practices that support the Jewish community and promote a culture of tolerance, safety, and security for all. Advanced registration is required, and it's through our Eventbrite app, and I believe the reason for that are security reasons. There's no cost to attend. Rosedale United is also a doors open site next weekend, May 23rd and 24th. We're looking for volunteers to help with this endeavor. If you can take a shift, please sign up through our newsletter. Our morning meditation group is now starting at 7:30 a.m. This group meets weekly on Wednesdays. I invite you now to stand as you are able. Please join me in the call to worship. A new day has begun. Hope wins. A fresh start is granted. Faith wins. Today, you have the opportunity to do something new. Hope wins. Christ is entering your life in a new way. Faith wins. Come, let us worship God, who invites us into life in a new way, a way of hope and faith. Love wins. Let us worship Christ, who overcame death to give us new life. And please join in singing hymn 260 in voices united, God who gives it to life its goodness. Peace of Christ be with you all, and also with you. Please greet people around you, people you don't know, people who you may know. I think I'll stay up here, there's not enough. Oh, that's, I know who belongs to that. Hat. Oh, I'm on the mic. Hmm? Oh, thanks. And now I'll invite Jennifer Robinson forward to light our Christ candle. This beautiful spring Sunday is shrouded in mystery and awe. Breaking into this is the holy light of Christ. Let us light our Christ candle as a reminder that even in inexplicable times and circumstances, the Christ light illumines our path. And please join me in prayer. Ascended God, we praise you for the mighty power of your royal reign. Glorious and righteous ruler of all things, we come today to worship you. Ascending God, we give thanks for your continuing reign of truth and love. Come everyone, clap your hands, shout to God with joyful praise. Most High God, creator of all that was and is, and all that will be, we sing our praises and offer thankful prayers for all your gifts to us. We pray in the name of Jesus, the one who has ascended to you, saying together, O loving parent, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. A charge to keep I have, O God, to glorify, a never dying soul to save, and fit it for the sky, to serve the present age, our calling to now we open the theme. In this moment, we open the theme that our readings explore today. As we honor Christ's ascension, I invite you to contemplate the question, where do you notice a sense of completion in your own life right now? What feels done for you right now? What emotions are present in this awareness? I invite you into a moment of contemplation as Oscar plays.
The Prayer of Illumination. Ever-rising God, just as you lifted the eyes of the disciples to the rising Jesus at his ascension, so lift our eyes to you today. By the power of your Holy Spirit, illumine our minds to receive your truth. Open the eyes of our hearts that we may know the hope to which we are called and follow faithfully in your way. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The first reading is from Acts 1, verses 6 to 14, the Ascension of Jesus. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. As they were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers.
The second reading is from John chapter 17, verses 1 to 11. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that the Son may glorify thee. Since thou hast given him power over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I glorified thee on earth, having accomplished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, Father, glorify thou me in thy own presence with the glory which I had with thee before the world was made. I have manifested thy name to those whom thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. Now they know that everything that thou hast given me is from thee, for I have given them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them and know in truth that I came from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom thou hast given me, for they are thine. All mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to thee, Holy Father. Keep them in thy name, which thou hast given me, that they may be one, even as we are one." May God bless to our understanding this reading from our Holy Scriptures.
Please join in singing hymn 328, "Jesus, you joy of our desiring."
Thank you.
Please join me in the prayers of the community. Jesus Christ, mediator and friend, we thank you for becoming human and for experiencing the joys and sorrows of life, which assures us that you are able to sympathize and rejoice with us. We praise you for the many joys in this life, for the beauty of creation, for your work in this world, for the growth in your kingdom, for the greatest source of our happiness, the love and relationships we share on earth and with you, and the gift of eternal life. As our mediator, you stand before God, petitioning him on our behalf. So we boldly before you give our prayers for creation and its care, for the nations of the world, for our beautiful country of Canada and its leaders, for this community and those in authority, for the wider church as it works on your behalf, for this local church in its ministry, especially for the partnerships we are building in social ministries, for people who need housing, mental health resources, and to know how to feel your presence and walk with you. Amen. We offer the work of our hands and the love of our hearts, the gifts of God as a blessing for the world. You're invited at this time, while Oscar plays, to light a candle to honor a prayer you are holding in your heart or an intention you would like to set. You are also invited to give an offering to the life and work of this church. Our offering box is located at the back of the sanctuary, or gifts may be made by e-transfer to churchoffice@rosedaleunited.org. There are candles at the front of the church and down the sides. So. It is a joy to welcome Dr. Jennifer Bright. In the words of our scripture today, we heard Jesus pray that all may be one. Dr. Bright is here to speak to us about Buddhist spiritual practices that also promote oneness and unity among us through compassion and loving kindness. Welcome, Jennifer.
Well, thank you so much for the warm welcome. It's just a delight and pleasure to be here with you this morning. And the music is beautiful. Wow, what a beautiful church. So it is my delight to be here and speak to you a little bit about Buddhist understandings of courage and a little bit about interfaith dialogue. Before I talk about Buddhist ideas of courage, I invite you to set aside, just for a moment, the world's most familiar image. When many of us hear courage, we might picture someone charging forward, the soldier, the firefighter, the hero who is not afraid. We imagine courage as the absence of fear or the muscle that pushes through it. Buddhist understandings of courage also carry a sense of heroism, but they focus in large part on its emotional and ethical dimensions. In the earliest teachings of Buddhism, the Sanskrit word for courage is virya, which means energy, diligence, enthusiasm, and heroic effort. The Buddhist Pali version of the same word, virya, carries the same sense. An untiring, wholehearted vitality that keeps showing up, keeps trying, keeps caring, not because victory is guaranteed, but because the effort itself matters. Virya is not about being fearless. It is not about aggression or physical bravery in the conventional sense. In Buddhist theology, courage is defined as the wisdom to face reality without turning away, to remain open, to remain present, even when what you face is painful or overwhelming. Courage, the tradition says, is the antidote to apathy and despair. Not the absence of those feelings, but the inner fire that refuses to be extinguished by them. One well-known Buddhist text some of you might be familiar with is known in English as the Path of the Bodhisattva, a guide for living written by the scholar Shantideva in the 8th century, describes virya as joyful energy. Not a grim, teeth-gritting endurance, but an enthusiastic, wholehearted yes to life's challenges. Courage is something you lean into, not something you grit your way through. With this definition in mind, now let me tell you a story. There is a classic Buddhist tale known as the story of the little sparrow. It is an old story told across many Buddhist traditions to illustrate what it means to act with virya. A massive forest fire broke out. The flames moved fast, and the smoke rose thick and choking into the sky. The larger animals, the bears, the deer, the elephants, turned and fled, running for their lives towards the edges of the forest. But there was a tiny sparrow who lived in those woods. And when she saw the fire, she made a different calculation. She could not outfly the smoke. The heat was too intense, the flames too wide, She could not escape. So, instead of fleeing, she flew to a nearby river. She dipped her small wings in the water, then she flew back over the burning forest and shook her feathers, releasing a few drops of water over the flames. Then she flew back to the river, dipped her wings, flew back, shook her feathers, again and again and again. Now the great deity Chakra, a powerful divine figure in Buddhist cosmology, sometimes compared to Indra, the king of heavens, looked down from above and saw this tiny bird making her futile rounds. He descended from the sky, landed before her, and blocked her path. "Little bird," he said, "you are being foolish. How could you possibly believe that a few drops of water on your wings could extinguish a forest fire? You are going to die for nothing. Save yourself. Go." The sparrow looked at this mighty being and did not flinch. "I know," she said, "that my drops of water cannot put out this fire, but I will not stand by and do nothing while my home burns. If I die trying, at least I will have done everything within my power to save it. And if every bird and every creature did the same, if all of us brought our small contribution, the fire could be stopped." The deity Chakra was so moved by her boundless courage and determination that he wept. And then he used his divine power to call down a great rainstorm, and the fire was extinguished. Now let us sit with how this story speaks to us. This story tells us quite a bit about courage. The sparrow knew that she would probably fail. This is the first and foremost thing to notice. She was not naive. She did not believe that her wings held enough water to put out the forest fire. She had no illusions about the scale of the problem relative to the scale of her power. And she acted anyways. In Buddhist theology, this is the very heart of virya. True courage is not born from confidence that you will succeed. It is born from the conviction that acting rightly matters, that effort has value independent of outcome. The sparrow's wings carried something more than water. They carried moral resolve. They carried love for her home and her community. And that, the story says, is enough to make a difference in our world. Her courage and moral conviction moved a powerful deity to weep and bring rain to put out the fire. The sparrow was not armored against the situation. She was fully present to it. She did not tell herself that the fire wasn't that bad. She did not look away. She did not minimize the scale of the crisis. Buddhist teachings speaks often about the temptation to emotionally armor ourselves against hard realities, to go numb, to deny, or to manage our feelings from a safe distance. Virya is not that. It is the opposite. It is the willingness to feel the full weight of what is happening and remain there, remain engaged, remain working. The deity chakra represents all the voices that tell us our effort is pointless. We all know that voice. Maybe it speaks to us from outside. The world is too broken. The systems are too large. You are too small. Maybe it speaks from the inside. Who do you think you are? What difference can one person make? In the story, this voice arrives wearing the face of a powerful deity. It speaks with the authority of someone who can see the whole picture, and it is not entirely wrong. The sparrow's drops of water certainly couldn't stop the fire. But chakra is missing something. He is measuring only the material outcome. He has not accounted for what happens when one small creature refuses to capitulate to despair. He has not accounted for the contagion of courage. The way the sparrows answer, if every creature did the same, contains within it a vision of collective action. The sparrow doesn't just fight a fire, she models what a community looks like when it does not abandon itself. Courage comes from how we regard situations. When we consider our world today, from one angle, it looks like a litany of disasters, environmental collapse, ongoing wars, rising anger and disillusionment. From another angle, there is hope. The Buddhist path does not ask us to pretend the first view is wrong. It asks us to hold both, to keep our gaze steady long enough that we can see and act on what is possible. This is not optimism in a shallow sense. It is something more durable. It is the refusal to let the size of the problem determine the size of our response. Vira, courage, is not developed in a single moment of heroism. This is important from a spiritual developmental point of view. The Buddhist path is very clear. You do not build this kind of courage in a single dramatic gesture. It grows slowly through faith and sustained contemplation and practice. Buddhist teachers speak of reflecting on the preciousness of human life, the rare and remarkable fact that we are here at all, that we are capable of awareness and choice. They speak of reflecting on the kindness we have received from others, on the suffering of those around us, and on the lives of those who have walked this path before us with great courage. Over time, these reflections do something to the mind. They expand it. They make room for a perspective broad enough that we are not crushed by immediate disappointment. The sparrow's courage was not accidental. In the Buddhist imagination, it was the fruit of something cultivated, a way of being in the world that had been built drop by drop long before the fire started. And then there is confidence, which is not the same as certainty. Buddhist teaching makes a distinction I find very useful. Confidence does not come from succeeding in our projects. It comes from engaging in them with a wise and kind motivation. The sparrow was not confident that she would win against the fire on her own. She was confident that she was doing the right thing. This is a different foundation entirely, and it is one that cannot be shaken by outcomes because it does not depend on them. I want to close with something that has shaped my life personally and as a Buddhist professor and theologian at Emmanuel College, who has had the great privilege of many years spent in spiritual community with people of other faiths and walks of life. There is a saying among anthropologists, and I'm sure that many of you or all of you have heard a version of this, that you do not truly understand your own culture until you have spent some real time inside another one. When everything around you is familiar, it becomes invisible. It is simply the way things are. But the moment you step into a different language, a different set of customs, a different way of organizing the world, something remarkable happens. You begin to see your own culture for the first time. What was invisible becomes visible. What you assumed was universal turns out to be particular. And what is particular turns out to be precious. I believe the same is true of religious and spiritual life. Most of us come to our faith the way we came to our mother tongue, by being born into it, shaped by it, before we had words to describe what was happening. And that is a gift. Roots are a gift. But roots on their own do not tell you the shape of the tree. For that, you need some distance. You need another vantage point. When Christian, Jewish, or Muslim students take my classes in Buddhist spiritual care or participate in the Tuesday Buddhist gatherings at Emmanuel College and are genuinely curious about the Buddhist teachings, something opens for them. They talk about how Buddhism has given them another vantage point, another perspective, and different practices that enrich and deepen their own faith and understanding. They find a new depth in a familiar passage, a new tenderness toward a practice they had grown routine about, a question they hadn't known they were carrying and suddenly given permission to be asked. Every tradition holds a light, and some of what that light illuminates is the interior of the tradition standing next to it. This is not syncretism, the blurring of real differences into a comfortable sameness. The differences between our traditions are real, and they matter, and they deserve to be honored. Buddhism and Christianity are not the same thing wearing different clothes. But genuine encounter, the kind where we deeply listen, ask questions, and let ourselves be surprised, does not erase those differences. It enriches them and gives us another lens through which to deepen our own faith and practice. The sparrow in our story did not ask whether the water on her wings was the right kind of water, or whether her method was theologically consistent with the practices of the other birds. She simply loved her home, and she acted, and she kept acting. And in that simple fidelity, she moved a powerful deity to tears and to take compassionate action. I think that this is what we are doing when we gather across traditions like this. We are not erasing our differences. We are being faithful to the deepest impulse within each of our paths, the impulse towards compassion, toward understanding, toward right relations, toward the kind of courage that keeps us showing up even when the fire is very large and our wings are very small. I am deeply grateful to be here with you today. Thank you for opening your doors and your hearts. Thank you for your curiosity, for wanting to know more about the Buddhist tradition and what it has to say about courage, about how we face the fires of our time with steadiness and care. That curiosity is itself a form of courage. I hope that somewhere in the story of Little Sparrow, you have found something that speaks to your own journey, a new way to look at it, a deepened conviction, or perhaps simply the quiet encouragement to keep flying back to the river, one wingful at a time. Thank you.
And let us join together and sing hymn 336. Before we say the prayer for sending out, I'd like to invite you to coffee hour, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. It's just through this door here. And while you're there, I'm counting how many people are here. We have 5 people signed up to make 200 sandwiches. So if we could get 5 more, or even somebody who wants to make 2 or 3 just on their way out of church. Any help we can get is gratefully received. As people of faith, we gathered for worship. As people of faith, we now return to the world. Go out to share the story of faith, the story of life, the story of courage with the world around you. We share the faith in word, in deed, in speech, and in action. As you go out to give a living witness, as you go out to testify to God's love active in the world, go knowing that God goes with you, sharing the laughter and the hope, the fears and the tears. Thanks and praise be to God. And let us bless each other as we go.